Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the place. It is a beautiful day, and it's a day that we want to take time to honor and encourage the mothers. But before I jump into a text that's going to help us to honor mothers today, I mean, I think if we're honest with ourselves, because we live in a broken world, it's important for us to acknowledge that a Mother's Day for so many, because we live in a broken world, is a bittersweet, or for some, just bitter. I mean, we've taken time in our church as we've been walking through the book of Genesis to see how the fundamental commission to humanity to be fruitful and multiply necessitates motherhood. But we've also seen how the entrance of sin into the world has marred God's good design for men and women. And specifically, we see today for motherhood. And that's why there are so many on Mother's Day 2024 who grieve. Some grieve the loss of a child or the rebellion of a child. Some grieve the loss of a mother or the painful reality of an abusive mother. Still others grieve because of unfulfilled desires to be a mother. Certainly we feel how sin has marred and impacted motherhood, and that makes Mother's Day a bitter for so many. But we've also seen in Genesis, directly after the fall, how God works for the redemption of humanity, to restore all that was broken. We've seen how the offspring of the woman will crush the offspring of the serpent. And through a mother's womb, we've seen a Savior will come to restore all that's been marred and all that's been lost and all that's been broken because of sin. And that means that what sin has broken, the blood of Jesus Christ restores and is progressively healing and redeeming. That because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who grieve today don't have to grieve without hope. That those who know the pain or some pain related to motherhood or some brokenness related to motherhood, we can find deep meaning and purpose and consolation in the Redeemer himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we hold this intention that sin has broken what God has made beautiful. And yet, because of Jesus Christ, it is all being restored and redeemed. So with that in mind, this morning I do want to speak about motherhood. And I want us to be helped as a church to encourage mothers. And I want us to be helped as a church to honor mothers. Both biological mothers and spiritual mothers. And so to help you and to help us honor mothers, I want us to go in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, and then we'll expound a little bit further into verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers would love to put a copy of God's word into your hands. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you today. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the word of God. On this Mother's Day, we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting from verse 14. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed." Watch this. "Knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Let's stop right there for a moment. I want us to start with this point. As a church, we must never underestimate the power, let's start with this, the power of a mother's influence. As a church, we must never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. I want you to look at verse 14 again. I'll show you where I get this thought from. Verse 14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing," notice, "from whom you learned it." Paul is highlighting something here to Timothy. He wants him to remember something. He wants to remember all the things that he's learned, and he wants him to remember specifically from whom he's learned it. Now, these verses come to us within the wider context, you know, of Paul's letter to Timothy. Remembering the context, the 1st and 2nd Timothy were written by the Apostle Paul as his final will and testament as he approached the end of his life, and he's very interested in passing on the work of the ministry to Timothy and the work of the gospel to Timothy. And it's in these letters that the Apostle Paul's aim has been to encourage a young pastor, Timothy, who finds it tempted to give up. You ever feel tempted to waver when the culture presses in on you? Well, you're in good company. Young pastor Timothy was very tempted to waver and to vacillate. And so Paul gives Timothy some exhortations, but what makes Paul's exhortations to Timothy here in our verses so insightful today is that while Timothy was a faithful partner in the gospel, he had this tendency to waver and to give up. So Paul then encourages Timothy to continue to remain committed to all that he has seen in Paul's example and through Paul's influence. I want you to notice it on the screen, verses 10, 11. He said this in the previous verses. He said, "You, however," he's making an emphatic contrast between Timothy and all the false teachers he's just denounced earlier in the text. He says, "You, however, have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings, all that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra." So Paul is interested here in preparing Timothy for a life of ministry by reminding him of his own example, but that's not the most prominent thing I want you to see here. Here's what I want you to notice and pay particular attention to here on this Mother's Day. Not only is Timothy to continue in what he has learned from the example of the Apostle Paul, but there's something else that's very important in the mind of Paul. In Paul's mind, there's an even more foundational example that he feels necessary to mention again in his letter. Important. Look at it in verse 14 and 15 again. He says, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed," watch this now, "knowing from whom you have learned it," and notice this, "how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." Now, who exactly did Timothy learn from dating back to his childhood? Well, we're told very clearly back in chapter 1, verse 5. Notice on the screen, Paul says this. He says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt," listen, "first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." So very interesting and very fascinating that in his final charge to young pastor Timothy, who's been known to waver from time to time, the Apostle Paul doesn't say only, "Look to my example," but he says, "You have to remember a more foundational and fundamental example that shaped and formed your life." He appeals to the influence of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Now, what does this tell us? Well, it tells us a lot, and many of you can testify to the influence of a mother in your own life, but it tells me that seminary is not necessarily the most foundational factor in a servant of Jesus Christ. It tells me that mentors aren't necessarily the most foundational factors in the life of a servant of Jesus Christ. It tells me that pastors and elders and deacons and Hope Kids workers are not necessarily the most foundational factor in the making of servants of Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying here tells me never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. Paul is saying to Timothy, remember what you've seen in me, but don't ever forget what you've seen and learned and observed in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. On the screen for you is C.H. Spurgeon, who wrote this. He wrote, most men are what their mothers made them. And then he says, grace does not run in the blood, but we generally find that the Timothys have mothers of a godly sort. Never underestimate the example of a godly mother. It's amazing to me that the great Apostle Paul, in this almost obscure and often overlooked verse, takes time to remember the formative influence of Timothy's mom. It's like he's saying, yes, Timothy, I want you to remember my words and my example, but when the going gets rough, I want you to visualize your mom. Well, when things get hard, Timothy, and you're tempted to waver, yes, think of me, Timothy. Think of my example, but I don't want you ever to forget your grandmother and your mother, how they labored with you, how they poured the gospel into you, how they set an example for you, how they brought the gospel to bear on your life in a way that formed you and shaped you in your earliest years. Never underestimate the example of a godly mother. Now, some of us might be thinking, but what about his dad? Aren't dads supposed to really take the lead? Like, why doesn't Paul mention Timothy's father? Isn't he the leader, provider, protector, as we've been learning? Well, what about Timothy's dad? Well, the Bible gives us a clue that I think makes this exhortation by Paul even more profound. I want you to notice on the screen, Acts 16, verse 1, it says this, he, Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Interesting. Timothy's father wasn't a believer. And so the example of his mother, the formative care of his mother was so vital and so important. I have memories as a child of my mother taking my sister and I, packing us up very early every single Sunday to go down the elevator of our apartment building, walk down to the bus stop and catch the TTC in Scarborough, to get on the bus, to get off the bus, walk a little bit further to go to church every single Sunday. And I remember my mother taking my sister and I every single week. My father wasn't a believer in those days. My father put his faith and trust in Christ later. But when I think of Timothy, I think I can relate to that. A mother who is doing everything she can on her own, but in the strength of God to form her children. In fact, it was my mother who led me to the Lord when I was 6 years old. I remember it. If you can believe me, I can visualize the bedroom right now. There's a bed right here and a single bed right here. My sister slept there. I slept there. And my mom would come in every night. She would kneel by our bed. She would pray for us. And I can visualize that bedroom. I can see it so clearly as a six-year-old where she shared the gospel with me in her broken English. She taught me that I was a sinner. I needed a savior. She taught me that I needed to repent of my sin and put my trust in Jesus Christ. And I remember, I can see it as a six-year-old. I can remember as a six-year-old putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and following him. Never underestimate the influence of a godly mother. I mean, by all metrics, you should look at me and say, that guy should not be serving Christ. I mean, this is almost like a single parent household when it comes to the spiritual things. His most formative years, just his mom. It was my mother who led me to the Lord. It was my mother who modeled for me and taught me the priority of fervent prayer. I believe that our church is a praying church today. I can trace it back to the seeds that my mother planted in me. She modeled for me fervent prayer. She put that in my heart. She made me believe that prayer changes things. And I look at our church, I see how central the prayer meeting is. I see how full and engaged the prayer meeting is. And I think back, man, never underestimate the example of a mother who poured that into a young, timid kid who never would have dreamed he would stand up in a pulpit like this, who always got nervous in front of people. But she gave him the gospel, and then all of a sudden, here he is leading a church that prays. Never underestimate the example of a mother, or the influence of a mother. It's my mother who taught me it was more blessed to give than to receive. Every dollar that I got, she taught me, first to the Lord, until it was put in me. It was my conviction. Everything you get, first to the Lord. Your first fruits to the Lord, Jason. Everything comes from Him. Everything belongs to Him. I look at how I live my life now and I say, never underestimate the power of a godly mother and the influence of a godly mother. Because my mother demonstrated to me the most important thing we could ever do in our lives was to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. She always used to say to us, it doesn't matter to me so much what you end up doing career-wise. I care about all that, but I know God is going to lead you. This is what I care about. This is what I care about, that you follow Jesus. And she put that in us. Never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. By the help and power of the Holy Spirit, mothers, you're not only teaching, you're instilling values and ideas and habits and a worldview that is gradually yet firmly being established into the hearts of your children. You are forming lives, mothers. You're forming futures. And that's why the great apostle Paul puts forward Timothy's mother and his grandmother as two rock-solid, incredible sources of his confidence. He says, Timothy, when the false teachers invade your church and the criticism comes to press up against you and you're being attacked on all sides, Timothy, and you feel like you're ready to give up, because I know you're going to be tempted towards that. You feel like you're ready to vacillate, he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing, Timothy, knowing from whom you have learned it. Your mother taught you better than to give up. But here's the thing. Most days, mothers don't feel like they're so powerful and influential and formative, right? If you're a mother in the room, I want to encourage you, but I also have a semblance of understanding that there are many days that come and you don't feel very influential. You feel sometimes that your efforts are in vain. You feel like the children are not listening. You feel like they're not retaining. Sometimes we do family devotions together. And let me just tell you, Aileen, my wife, every single morning around the table with the Word of God and some devotional with the children, every single day. And sometimes they're hanging off the chairs and they're like playing, throwing their food and they're, you know, can I go play video games now? Or, you know, and you feel like it's in vain, right? Some of you feel that way, but I want you never to underestimate the power of your influence. You must press on. You must press on. So I want to make a few points of application here really quickly, and then we're going to move on. Mothers, I want you to embrace your influence. I want you to embrace your influence. Point number one is this. Even when children are small and you feel like it's chaotic, some of you are in that phase. Embrace your influence. Even when your children are fallen, it feels like it's chaotic. It feels like they're not listening. It feels like they're not paying attention. Notice on the screen, Deuteronomy 6:6-9, it says this. Now, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Mothers, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tell them as symbols, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Even when the kids feel like it feels like they're not paying attention, even when it looks like it's in vain, I want you mothers to embrace your influence, and I want you to do what the Bible tells us. Give these commandments. Impress them on your children. Talk about the Lord at every moment you get the opportunity. When you're walking on the road, when you're walking down and getting up, lying down, getting up, tying them around them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the dorm frames of your houses and your gates. Loved ones, let the day begin and end with God's word. Mothers, even though it looks like they're not listening, even though it feels like you're not having much influence, embrace your influence and begin and end each day with God's word, and every moment in between, let it be a dialogue and a celebration of the glory of God in all creation. Mothers, I want you to embrace your influence. Not only when children are small and it feels like it's chaotic, but secondly, even when children are grown and you feel like it's too late. Okay? Mothers, I want you to embrace your influence. There's some in the room that have small children. It feels chaotic. There's others in the room, you have grown children, and it feels like it's too late. Now, let me just say some things to those of you who feel like it's too late. You may feel like you've missed the mark. You feel like it's too late to have any influence in your children's lives. And some of you are grieved by this. I want to say to you also, never underestimate the power of your influence. The time of teaching has maybe passed. The time for correction has maybe passed. The time for discipline has maybe passed. But listen to me, mothers with grown children, and you feel like it's too late. The time for prayer is now. Never underestimate your influence in their lives. On the screen, Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The praying mother knows that this is God's work to do. So she embraces her influence and she prays. Matthew 19:26 on the screen, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" The praying mother knows that with God, it's never too late, and this is God's work to do. You may not have the opportunity to discipline and to teach and to instruct anymore, but you have a powerful, mighty weapon in prayer to influence your children, your grown children. On the screen, John 6:44 says, "No one can come to the Father unless I draw him," Jesus says. The praying mother knows that Jesus must act on her children's behalf, that this is God's work to do. And so the praying mother understands that her window of influence is not gone. She can continue to influence her children, her grown children, even though it feels like it's too late. She can pray for them and God can work on their behalf. This man of God, Timothy, was not made in the seminary. He was made in the home by God through his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois's influence. Mothers, I want you to embrace your influence. Whether they're young and it's chaotic, or whether they're older and you feel like it's too late. A final word on this to all the women here, all the precious women of our church. If you don't have small children or you don't have adult children, I want you to embrace your influence too in this church. I want to call you, I want to invite you into the most profound calling on the face of the earth. To make spiritual children. You may not have your own biological children for whatever reason, but I want to invite you into this beautiful calling to make spiritual children. Use your God-given disposition and design to help and to nurture and to pour the gospel into others. Be a spiritual mother by discipling other women. Be a spiritual mother by supporting a struggling family in prayer. Be a spiritual mother by ministering to the children and the youth of our church with genuine concern for the next generation. Let me just tell you, loved ones, how much the Lord is burdening my heart for the next generation these days. It's becoming such a burden on my heart for the next generation. And on this Mother's Day, I'm calling you. You may not have children of your own, but I'm calling you to come be part of this. Make spiritual children. Look upon the next generation with concern. Look upon the next generation with a sense that God can use me in the lives of other children or other young people or youth or young adults. God can use me to be a spiritual mother. I can, in making disciples of Jesus Christ, I can influence others. And I pray that you would receive that calling, every one of us. because we believe so much in partnering with parents here in our Hope Kids ministry to see these little ones hear the gospel and respond to the gospel and work with parents in seeing those seeds land in good soil. And our youth ministry, such an opportunity. Such an opportunity. These are such formative years. I would call you all, men and women, to be part. But I would call the women to ask God how they would be used to be spiritual mothers in this church. Never underestimate the power of a mother's influence, a power that is given and fueled at the throne of grace in prayer. As a church, we must never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. Finally, this, and really quickly, we must never underestimate the power of, listen now, God's word in her hands. God's word in her hands. Notice verses 14 and 15 again. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with," notice, "the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So lest we think we're promoting some kind of man-made or man-centered strategy for motherhood and parenting, Paul makes it very clear what the secret of Eunice and Lois's success was in the life of young Pastor Timothy. It was that from childhood, he was acquainted with what? The sacred writings. Now, this is a reference to the Word of God. This is a reference to the Bible. And not only was Timothy acquainted with the sacred writings, but Paul makes it clear that it was these sacred writings that made him wise for salvation in Christ. Never underestimate the influence of a mother, the power of a mother who has God's word in her hands. That's why on the screen, Paul goes on to elaborate, give an elaborate exposition of the inspiration of Scripture in the very next verses. It's not by accident. Look at it. He goes on and says, remember what your mother and grandmother put in you. And then he says, remember this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The power of a mother's influence is found in the power of God's word in her hands. Why would a mother spend every day poring over the Scriptures to strengthen her own soul? And why would a mother do all that she can do to stop at nothing, to make this the non-negotiable of her home, that we are going to sit together around God's word every day? Why would a mother do that in the midst of kids that are not listening and kids that are rebelling and kids that are making it hard? Why would she continue to do that? Because she knows the power of her influence with God's word in her hands. And we're not depending on our strength here. We're not depending on our own insights here. We have profound, spirit-inspired insight from God's word. Never underestimate the power of a mother with God's word in her hands. Now, everyone knows the name Billy Graham, of course. On the screen for you, I think there's a picture of a young Billy Graham and his wife, Ruth. Billy Graham, the most famous evangelist of our time. I mean, he spent his life traveling all over the world, preaching the gospel to thousands upon thousands upon thousands. We know a lot about Billy Graham, but we don't know much about his wife, Ruth. In a tribute, one of her daughters shared the following. I want to share it with you. She shared, "I would go down to my mother's room early in the morning. Her light would be on. And I would find her at her big flat-top desk. She would have about 14 different translations of the Bible spread out. She would be reading and studying her Bible. I would go down to her room late at night. I would see the light on underneath the door, and I'd go in, and she would be on her knees in prayer. One of her daughters says, as I look back on my childhood, I cannot remember any impression whatsoever that my mother was ever lonely. She may have been lonely, but I never saw it. I believe that our Heavenly Father, our Savior, saved my mother from loneliness because of her daily walk with the Lord Jesus. He was the love of her life. I saw that in her life. It was her love for the Lord Jesus, with whom she walked every day, that made me want to love him and walk with him like that. What a godly woman. Billy Graham is out getting all the attention and all the acclaim and out there preaching to thousands, and his family was there on their own. But his wife understood the secret to be with God every day, to find all that she needed with God every day, to be armed with the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God every day. And it was a testimony of their children that they would see her love for Jesus and want that same love too. You know what I think would be so powerful in our church? Is if we were never the church that relied on programs and children's programs and youth programs. All that has its place, as I said to you, I believe in it. But we understood where the power was. It's in a godly mother with the Bible in her hands. It's with a godly mother on her knees every day. It's a godly mother who understands that all that I need for my soul is here. It's from him. And all that I could ever hope to give to my children, it's here. It's from him. Wouldn't it be amazing if our church over the next decade began to see more and more children put their faith and trust in Christ and enter the waters of baptism and one by one say, yes, I had the influence of my pastors and my leaders, but my mom, it was my mom. She sacrificed everything to fill herself with the Word of God and prayer. And that's how she had the strength to give me all that I ever needed. Would the children of Hope Church one day say it was the love of their mother for the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom they walked every day, that made them want to walk with him like that? Mothers, don't get hung up on all the YouTube videos and how to be a better mom and how to do this and how to cook more efficiently and all that stuff. All of that stuff has its place, but would you commit yourself, mothers of this church, to be a woman of the Word of God and a woman of prayer, the non-negotiable of your life, and to pour that into your children and stand back and watch God do the thing that only he can do. He can't change. We can't change our children, right? But he can. Amen? Amen. May it be so. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for the mothers that are represented in this place. We're grateful to you for the biological mothers. We're grateful to you for the spiritual mothers. We're grateful to you for the mothers that have small children. We're grateful to you for the mothers who have grown children. We're grateful to you for even the women in this church who are making disciples and making spiritual children. And Lord, we know that we need you to strengthen the mothers and encourage them. We need you to fill them with hope, Lord. The ones that feel like their influence is useless, that nobody's listening, that you would just speak to them right now, that don't give up, keep going, keep reading those verses of scripture, keep taking them to those good devotionals, keep praying over them as they wiggle around. Just keep going, mothers. Keep going. I pray that they would sense your affirming hand upon them. And I pray, Lord, today specifically for the mothers who maybe they feel like a failure today. Lord, would you help them to know that you are here with them, that you will strengthen them. I pray you would encourage them to know. Some of them feel like it's too late. It's never too late with you. For the mothers of grown children who are rebellious, they've turned away from you. Would you bring them to the place of faith and hope? You can turn things around. You can turn things around. You're the God who brings the prodigals home. You're the God who brings the prodigals home in a way that amazes us. I pray right now, even today, for the prodigals represented in this room, that by your Spirit, even through this moment of prayer as we're praying together, as we commit ourselves to your word again and to seeking your face in prayer, that you bring prodigals home again. You show us again the beauty and power of our God to save. And for our dear church, take us into this next decade, Lord. Take us to see the next generation raised and strengthened and following you in the face of a culture that hates you. This is the light of the world. Your church is the light of the world. Let the next generation shine as a bright light, I pray, and let us all embrace our role in that, such an important one, I pray, that we all receive that now. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you agree, you can say amen. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm praying with such faith. I'm praying for the next generation. Join me and pray for the next generation. But we know as we sing this song, we cannot do it on our own. We need God's help. Amen. Let's call out to him for his help.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.